Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
Oh, baby. How are we doing, faithful? We have preseason football butt kicking. The 49ers just destroyed the Chargers. We're going to go over. I've got a ridiculous amount of notes, but the overall assessment is this. Yes, it is a preseason game. I understand that. But when you absolutely destroy an opponent through four quarters, all three phases, second string, some first string, second string, third string, backups, across all fields, run game, pass game, turnovers, kickoff, punt return, punt, like field goal, extra point. Like there was not an area that the 49ers did not dominate. Third downs, pressure, run, like absolute decimation. Now the Chargers are a very, very good team. And yeah, Herbert was out there, you know, to start the game, whatever else, like whatever. The 49ers did everything that they needed to do and more. And they accomplished that in this game. Now there are some injuries. We're going to talk about that. There are negatives, but from the vantage point of just how a preseason football game can go and what you can celebrate, learn, gain from that, you checked just about damn near every box. You needed playmakers. You needed solid run game. You needed pass rush. Check, 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 check. All those things came across. So excited to get to your points. So make sure you throw those in the chat. Appreciate all the countdown crew. This is a milestone, ladies and gentlemen. This is episode 1700 of the 49ers Rush podcast. 1,700 shows. Unbelievable. In year 10, our executive producers, Corey Robbins, David Gill, 49ers George 365. Thank you guys so much for making that happen. I pumped to be here with y'all. I'm freaking stoked. How crazy is this, man? We got Spotify listeners in here. That's what I love. I love it. I love it. So injuries, let's get these out of the way, right? So that we can focus on so many positives because they're there. Renardo Green left with a hamstring. He got toasted deep by the rookie, and they both wound up in the medical tent. The rookie wide receiver from Mississippi State, I believe. Yeah, Renardo Green left with a hamstring, played really, really well, got beat deep, out of phase, completely caught up. It was still overthrown ball, so it was incomplete, led to a punt play. We didn't see Agent Zero out there again, and it was funny because they were like, oh, he's questionable, and I put in there. I was like, it's hamstring. You turn on those Jets chasing down a 4-2 wide receiver. It's like, oh, man. And we know the saying, hamstring a day, it's the 49ers way. It's just what it is. And I wish the saying, as cheesy as it is, would have been true, because sadly there was another hamstring, Nick Martin, who I thought played very, very well, much better than his first performance, the violence, special teams, closing speed, making faster reads, faster judgment, still needs reps. And I think it was smart to play him a lot, but man, this hamstring took place in the fourth quarter. He was the starter with 4 minutes left. Now the flip side of that is, well, Nick Martin, you got to be able to play a whole freaking game. The other side is, dude, get him out. He's played off and on all night. Let's rest him, but you got to play football. He needs reps. Now the hamstring injury, man, that linebacker room, I'm going to be very, very honest. That linebacker room is stacked. Injuries. I don't think Nick Martin's on cut watch, but good Lord, you start looking at Tatum Bethune, back-to-back badass weeks, Garrett Wallow, awesome. Jaden Duggar, safe as can be. How do you keep six linebackers whenever one of them might be injured? So we'll see how that goes with Nick Martin. I think just the special teams, what he brings there, makes him safe. Larry Worth was kind of the outside guy looking in, made some good plays, made some bad plays as well. So like, I don't think there's enough to say like, all right, you can move on from Nick Martin. And even those that are like, oh, well, trade Nick Martin. You don't trade injured players. You don't trade injured players. Like, that does not happen in the NFL really ever. So that you kind of got to put to bed. And then Austin Pleasance, you know, he playing left tackle. He gets kicked into left guard. Was awful at guard, was horrible at guard. And then his knee looked like a really bad knee injury, too. I'm kind of worried about that. So we'll have to see how that goes. But those are the big three, right? So Renardo Green hamstring, Nick Martin hamstring, Austin Pleasant's knee. Austin Pleasant's trying to just to fight his way onto the roster somewhere. And let's go with the biggest play of the day. Jason. Cowan spot solidified, question mark? The answer is yes. Now, if you've listened to the 49ers Rush podcast throughout training camp, you have heard me talk about Cowan making plays in training camp, in one-on-ones, in team. And you've heard me defend that I think and have thought Jacob Cowan is going to make this team. I have stood by it. Now, I understand he hasn't done near enough and got injured again with the hip flexor. I get it. But I kept saying, like, I think he's making this team. I think he's going to be the punt returner. He's had a full year as the 49ers full-time punt returner and never led to one turnover. That matters. That carries weight. Goes out there, 83-yard punt return to the house. I know it's preseason. Very first punt return of 15 seasons. All the way back to 2011. That's saying that's 15 years ago makes me kind of sick to my stomach, but it's been that long. It has been that for 2026, 15, carry the one. I don't think you carry in subtraction. Maybe you do. Jacob Cowing is making the damn roster. I believed that before this game. And I sure as hell believe it now. I don't think it's really, really close. I just don't. I didn't. Now with that play, I think it's a lock. It's just a lock. He even had good kickoff returns. Yeah, made some mistakes out there as a wide receiver. It's not like he's picture perfect. But the upside, and you see him just running away from all these players. Yeah, their punter kind of quit on the play. Love all that stuff. But I asked this question, like, man, who do you cut out of these three? I put this up on Twitter. Now, it's an instant reaction poll. There's been a little over 700 votes. It's only been up for an hour. But if you had to cut one of the following, the three wide receivers, right? Jacob Cowan, Jordan Watkins, Christian Kirk. Which one do you cut? Christian Kirk hasn't finished one practice. Not OTAs, not training camp, not preseason. He led this one, and I agree. I would cut Christian Kirk 76%. Jordan Watkins second with 16%. I'm not a Jordan Watkins guy. I don't think he offers anything in the return game whatsoever. He is terrible at punt return. He is terrible at kickoff return. He barely got to the 20. Missed some major blocks again. But I will say there was a concerted effort by Jordan Watkins in the first quarter to actually try and block in the run game. And one of the big plays, I think it was Sincere McCormick with like his big run. Jordan Watkins, man, huge block to spree that. That's huge. Now, still not good, and we'll wait till we get to the tape on the whole thing. Had the drop touchdown, but then he caught a touchdown later. And then Jacob Cowan got 7%. So Jordan Watkins cut him 60%, 16%. Christian Kirk, 76%. I would follow this metric a little bit. I would probably put Jacob Cowan safe in my mind. And I know somebody's like, man, one play in the preseason? It's not that. The eye test shows you. They throw a little screen pass to him. He makes one miss quick, gets some extra yards. He's not perfect. I'm not like a Cowan believer, but I'm a Cowan believer whenever you look at this roster that needs a punt return, kick returner. Now, Debo got his first couple reps at punt return. Didn't look good. Let one of the punts hit the ground. It definitely should have fielded that one. But fair catch it. It's funny because, you know, I'm watching the broadcast and I'm like, oh, smart choice by Debo. And I was like, dude, special team coach is going to be pissed off that he let that hit the ground right there at the 20. You don't let a ball hit the ground at the 20 on a punt. Are you kidding me? But the idea was, yeah, maybe Debo will be the punt returner. And like, that's cool. If and he has the electric ability, all those things. But now if Cowing, who I think should be the punt returner, now Debo gets to focus on kickoff return. My two returners would be Jacob Cowing and Debo Samuel. Those are my two kick returners. If you want to throw Kalen Black or if you want to throw Jordan James back there, I'm cool with that as well. But the punt returner is Jacob Cowing, then Debo. That's what it should be. But yeah, in my opinion, I think it's safe for Jacob Cowing. Jordan Watkins, I would not call safe. There are still way too many holes in his game. He's just too soft of a player, but I think he is in as of now. If Christian Kirk comes back and practices, that's a different story. And so, like, if you get a couple weeks, you got 2 weeks now till cut down date. Man, about 10 days till cut down date, to be honest with you. But not even. He's got to practice before then or he's not making it. And so if he doesn't, then I'm like, all right, yep. it's going to be Jordan Watkins. And that's the way that it's looking. Jacob Cowing's in. I don't care what anybody says. Now, let me just say this. Like every single year, one of my favorite things we do a Zoom hangout where we go through and we predict the 53-man roster series. This is already posted at the 49ersrush.com, and it's posted on our Patreon page. So we have a Zoom hangout Saturday at 2 p.m. They bumped up the cut day. Used to be on Tuesdays. Now it's on Sundays. So we have to do our Zoom hangout before. So Saturday, 2 p.m. Pacific time, we're doing our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout. It's going to be an absolute blast. If you've never participated in one of these, it's fun as hell. So come out, join us. And if you're nervous, you don't want to turn your camera on or whatever else, or your house is dirty, man, keep your camera off, turn your audio off and just watch it. Hang out with us, learn about the community, make sure you feel comfortable. But if you're looking for a group to join and get to know each other and build relationships, man, we have such a good time. And so come party with us, the 49ersrush.com or our Patreon channel, links in the description of this video. Plus, on top of that, we're going to get brand new film tomorrow. Brand new film that we're going to break down. Coaches tape, end zone tape, all that stuff. So if you're asking about a certain player, we go through every play, offense, defense, special teams, every preseason game, every regular season game. As soon as you sign up, you get access to the past 4 years. Not that you have to watch it, but if you want to go check it out, that is going to be up starting tomorrow. Now, I do have to do this. My cousin, who's in the Air Force, he's a pilot. He's awesome. He's going to be in town for like 6 hours tomorrow. He's got a layover in the area. And so my video breakdowns might not be out super soon tomorrow. I'm hoping to get one done. Depends on when the NFL releases the tape. I'm going to set my alarm early, and I just have to keep refreshing till the tape loads. Once the tape loads, breakdowns will happen. We'll have a show tomorrow at some point. Stay tuned for that, but give me a little grace. I don't get to see my cousin very often. He's like one of the few family members that isn't in jail. So I got to take advantage of that. He's a cool dude. I'm from Texas, and one of the worst things that could ever happen is whenever it's dinner time and you don't have what you need for the dinner for the family. And so I'm a big steak, barbecue, you name it, grill out. That's what I love, and that's why I use Omaha Steaks. So whether it's a rushed weeknight or a Saturday cookout, you can have quality protein on hand when you need it. Ribeyes for special occasion, juicy burgers for a cookout, grilling chicken, seafood, gourmet franks. Omaha Steaks has what you want. Plus, they now have sides, desserts, and more. So a great dinner is minutes away. And the best thing about it is it's steakhouse quality without the steakhouse prices. There's no more last minute run-its to the store. It arrives vacuum sealed, frozen, ready to go. And if you've never tried them, the Burger Perfection Flight is the perfect introduction. For just $79.99, you get 20 premium steak burgers crafted from 5 distinct cuts of steak. You get 4 filet mignon burgers, 4 New York strip burgers, 4 ribeye burgers, 4 brisket burgers, 4 sirloin burgers. So try the Burger Perfection Flight at omahasteaks.com today. That's 20 premium steak burgers for just $79.99. Plus, you get $35 off with the promo code BEEF, B-E-E-F. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code BEEF for $35 off at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. So anyway, That's going to be taking place tomorrow. So sign up, 49ersrush.com. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Oh, look at this. Kimbrough in the chat. Appreciate the super chat, my friend. A lot of positives. Waller looked good. Jack Jones was amazing. Stribling. You know, in the regular season when they do wins, we do kind of like game balls or MVP conversation. Yeah, I mean, those three are off the charts. We'll just go in order. Garrett Waller, hero of the playoff game defensively against Philly, sent them home packing. Been on the team for like 2 weeks. Dude just does everything. First preseason game, he plays Will, then Sam. This game, he plays Mike. Flashes everywhere. Pretty good in his zone drops. Man coverage is a problem, okay? He got toasted on a Will route. I don't think it was a rail route, not a Will route, but penalty, it got called back. But, man, the way Waller feels the B gap to the play side, it's violent. You can't move off of guys like that. And Garrett Waller is kind of the epitome whenever you look at the roster last year for the 49ers versus this year. It's night and day difference because you have quality depth across a lot of positions. Jack Jones encompasses that as well. Renardo Green goes down. Your cornerback four is Jack Jones, who is a two-year starter. Two-year starter. Goes out there, moxie out the wazoo, almost got an interception. Ball skills are incredible. Jack Jones would be a cornerback three on a lot of teams. He'd be a cornerback two on a few teams. For us, the 49ers, he's quarterback four. But if Renardo misses time and Jack Jones has to start week one, not overly concerned. Yeah, you're going to love and hate Jack Jones because he will get penalties. He's a grabby, grabby corner. He will tackle wide receivers on routes. But he's going to lead to interceptions and turnovers. Like, he is a moxie type player. Jack Jones, man, the depth at that cornerback room, I thought was great. Jack Jones, like, I have the utmost confidence in him as a starter. It has been a long time since the 49ers have had cornerback depth like this. And then Deshaun Stribling. Come on, man. Like, he's the real deal. Was he perfect? No, dropped a touchdown. Him and Jordan Watkins dropped not one, but two Mac Jones touchdowns. I don't know if you guys watched on the broadcast. Mac Jones was pissed. He didn't want to talk to anybody on the sidelines, pulling his helmet off, cussing to himself. He was red hot. Got to catch the damn ball. Now, the difference is Deshaun Stribling just passes every eye test. They pulled him right after the second series. Like, he's getting not quite Brock Purdy treatment, right? But he's getting Colton McKivitz treatment. You just go play two series, then you're out. It says a lot about the confidence that they have in him. Four catches, 46 yards for Deshaun Stribling on five targets. Ugh. Nice comeback route, catch from Purdy, just posting up on players, using his body. You know, it's awesome. Slant route, elite separation. Dude had three third down conversions for firsts, and he only played two series. Now, I understand because he's a big-bodied wide receiver that wears 15, that converts third downs. I understand why people say, oh, it's new Juwan Jennings. Like, I get it. I understand. Those things are simple. Let me say this very clearly. All right. Juwan Jennings has a wonderful NFL career, and I hope that he keeps playing. It is awesome what he has accomplished. Deshaun Stribling's talent does not allow those two to be compared. I think that that is a flawed argument. He is nothing like Juwan Jennings because he plays multiple positions at the wide receiver spot and stretches the field vertically. If they had a foot race, you could start Juwan Jennings at the 32-yard line. You start Deshaun Stribling at the 40-yard line, and guess what? Deshaun's going to win. They are not the same. They are not comparable. They are physical. They are big. That is the end of the comparison. They wear the same number. That is the end of the comparison. Completely different players, one with an elite ceiling, high end, speed galore. Yeah, thank you, Fish. Right there, man. Right there. And so we're just going to keep cruising through these. And if you got comments, throw them up in there. But so many damn pauses. Also, Diggy Zua. That dude looked like he was playing to get, like, do you ever have like the dream? Like, man, dude, I wish I could go back. Like, could you imagine if we played football against like middle schoolers or whatever else? Like, that's what it looked like with Oso Odighizuwa. Looked like he was out there against middle school kids. It's like he did not belong. The amount of pressure and the speed that he just shot through the A gap and B gap every single play he was out there. Dude, the 49ers have not had a defensive tackle that looked like that in a very long time. A very long time. Osa Odighizuwa. Whoo! Oh, boy. I'm pretty excited about that one, man. Right there, Steven. Yeah, Osa was the backfield at will. It was incredible. Just see it. I was like, who the hell was that? It was like a blur. The broadcast film, you know, moves with the pass. And I'm just like, whoa, go back. And so like a little peek behind the curtain here. Whenever I'm at home, I have the game on at three different time periods, right? So I offset by 10 seconds. So I watch the play. Then I watch the play again. Then I watch the play again. So like I'm trying to watch the play three times, like in standard time. And so like I'll watch the play and I usually like pick a player on the outside. I usually don't focus on interior guards, centers, defensive tackles ever on the broadcast tape because it's just a mess from where the angle is on the broadcast tape. I always wait to evaluate players once you get that end zone coaches tape. Behind the quarterback or behind the safety, you just get to see everything. So when I'm watching game tape or even wherever I sit on the stands, like I try to sit closest to where the cameras that film the game are because that's the best angle because you can see everything. But again, whenever I'm there, I don't really pay attention to center, guards, defensive tackles unless something stands out and something jumps out. That's never my pre-snap go-to. But on the second or third rewatch, right, first one, then second one's 10 seconds later, third one's 10 seconds later, if a player flashes, then I'll try to glance inside, and I get mad because it's always a mess. Also, you can't help it. You just can't help it. The dude just jumps off the tape. It's incredible. It's incredible. And so, you know, right here, Caden, you know, AC95 didn't look great. I wasn't highlighting Collins because I'm waiting on the other tape. The few plays I saw didn't look bad. I didn't see any, you know, major snafus like we've seen in the past. Stopped the run whenever he was in there pretty damn consistently. That's his job. He's not going to look good in pass rush. I did see a good hustle play out in the flats, but we'll wait. Will Alfred Collins step up? Again, coming off shoulder surgery. This is how he looked last year. You've got to wait. You've got to let him get the snaps. Coming back from that injury. Hey, I wish it wasn't that way, but that's just what it is. It's what it is. Now, yeah, left guard is not certain. It's really, really not. And that's the major issue. Carver Willis got the start. Then you saw Austin Pleasance. He gets injured. They put Carver Willis back in the third. Then they shift over Connor Colby, who started at right guard, back to left guard in the fourth quarter. Again, I don't watch a lot of the interior during the game day broadcast, but not a lot of major negatives outside of Austin Pleasance. He was horrible. Never play him at guard again. We'll have to see what his injuries look like with his knee. But like, yeah, that guard process for him. Nah, bro, that's just not a thing. You can't put him there. Like he was so bad. Even the pick six play was his fault. It was just like four plays in a row of just some of the worst guard. Austin Pleasant's still better than Robert Jones, who didn't dress today. I said, after watching the game tape, I wouldn't be shocked if Robert Jones retired. He didn't dress today. I don't know what the situation is. Maybe he's injured. But left guard's still majorly concerned. Now, the few plays that I did watch, you know, inside, not a lot. Carver Willis and Connor Colby did not look bad. I still think it's a major concern. I don't know what the answer is, but it's going to be between Carver Willis and Connor Colby. We'll see what that is. Still a whole nother game coming. But again, hold those interior offensive line takes till we watch the tape. And once I watch the tape, I'll watch them every single play. I'll come back and tell you consistent, good, bad, all that stuff. That's why the coaches always say, yeah, we're going to have to wait until we see the tape. as bad as our view is, with the broadcast view trying to measure guards and defensive tackles and centers, man, being on the sidelines, it's even worse. Like, from a coaching standpoint, it's difficult. That's why Shanahan stands all the way down on the other side. But if you're an O-line coach, you can't, because you've got to sub those linemen in. So you got to be next to the ball to shorten the distance so they can run in. That it makes it harder. It really, really does. B. Fish, loves seeing Kalon Black's vision and strength hitting those holes. Man, Neo, baby, I know Kung Fu. We said it when he was drafted. We didn't like the pick. Didn't even have a draftable grade on him. That's on us. He has looked the part. He is the first. He's going to break the mold. He's the chosen one. Of all the third-round running backs that Kyle Shanahan has picked, Kalon Black is Neo. Look good out there. The most impressive thing for me with Kalon Black was the pass protection. One play in particular, there was a blitz, and man, he came up and filled in that B gap, ate grass, which is important, met him at the line of scrimmage, and didn't give up ground after that. That is huge. Now, he had a couple good pass protection reps. That's going to help the rookie see play time. Still haven't seen any of the receiving to that. They split him out in an empty set. They motioned him out one time, and I was like, ooh, watch the route. Wasn't very, very good. But if you can pass protect and keep Brock Purdy upright, that's going to give you an opportunity to stay in on three downs, which is huge. So yeah, I love that. He had 8 rush attempts for 33 yards, 4 yards per average, 4.1. Nothing that's like, ooh, this is amazing or electric. But sometimes the eye test is enough. And whenever you're watching all these running backs and Sincere McCormick, Patrick Taylor Jr., who got placed on IR, which I hate, you bring back Khalil Herbert, who you cut, then, you know, now gets to play Zamir White. There's just something different, and I think they all played well, by the way. Sincere looked great. I thought Zamir White looked great. But Kalon Black just looks the part. He's playing mostly against twos, but, man, nice 5-yard run against, you know, no wasted movements, one-cut runner, not wasting time, falling forward. And there was one run, probably my favorite run of Kalon Black, which was like a half-yard gain. Probably should have been a tackle for loss. The power in which he runs, he's a small back, but dude is jacked. Those are the things, eliminating the negatives. You hear me say it all the time. I want consistency. You hear the 49ers coaches say, we want consistency. Kalon Black looks to show that. I didn't see negatives. I did not see one negative play. Probably played about 15 snaps, maybe a little more. We'll get through the tape. We'll see what the holes look like, all that stuff, the decisions. But man, nice 3rd-and-1 run to get the first down. The pass pro pickup, though, that is the thing that I love. Look at this. Phil in the house. Kalon Black, my draft crush. Go, kid. Go. I love it. I love it. I love it. That is awesome. Now, let me just say this. Who doesn't like free money? Well, my bookie's giving away. Use promo code 49ers. Want to start football season off with a bet that feels like it can't miss? The MyBookie Lock of the Season is back, and the first one is an absolute no-brainer. With the Patriots in Seattle for the NFL kickoff, MyBookie is asking one simple question. Will the Seahawks raise the banner that night? Of course they will. They're the defending champs. It's their home opener. The entire game is designed around raising the banner, and they've already talked about doing it that night. So you're getting plus money odds right now on MyBookie.ag. You're getting paid to say yes. That's all you got to do. So that's the first MyBookie lock of the season. There's going to be a lot more all season long, and you should be betting with us. We post our weekly bets over at the49ersrush.com and our Patreon page. We show you how much, what to bet, and where. We've done very well. Major profits 7 out of 8 seasons since we've been doing this. So get in before kickoff of the first NFL game at mybookie.ag with promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS. And on addition to that, you get a bet back bonus from $50 to $500. You opt in whenever you're ready for that. And if you miss the bet, if you don't get it right, you get all the money credited right back to you with a one-time rollover, industry best. Bet on anything, anytime, anywhere. And I mean anywhere. Yes, you can bet in California with MyBookie. Go check it out. MyBookie. All right. Now, Awesome. Look at this, Philip. He literally said Neo as soon as he started breaking some runs. Like, that is awesome. It's the inside jokes that we got going on. That is always fun. So let's go through. Man, I have so many notes. We've got to dive into some of these. Oh, look at this, Phil. Appreciate the super chat, my man. Off topic. Good to see Trey Lance redeem himself as a decent quarterback, too. He's getting paid. Good quarterback, too, money. I love that. Great kid. Had those runs, still can't operate efficient offense down, you know, the field. That's kind of his issue. But, man, he is athletic. He is a hard worker. He's a good kid. I get it. He's in a good spot. With Harbaugh, I think he's in a good spot. And it was cool seeing him. Yeah, you know, you get back to those memories, and it's just like, man, Trey Lance. That's what it was. So let's go through some of these players. Romello Hight got to start at defensive end. Man, had an awesome tackle for loss on an inside stunt. And, like, I don't want to back up from the player perspective right now and talk about the defensive coordinator. Raheem Morris was putting the players in a place of advantage consistently. In my coaching meetings all the time with, like, my staff and whenever I was under, like, the whole idea is, I would say, we have to give our players an advantage because we're their coaches and not the other guys. If we're not doing that, we're not doing our damn job as coaches. Raheem Morris was scheming the hell out of Mike McDaniel. And this is what I said. Now, it's preseason, whatever. Take this by the wayside. And I talked about this with Larry on Wednesday night. I said this many times. The difference between Robert Saleh and Raheem Morris is Raheem Morris can out-scheme top-tier play callers. Robert Saleh never has done that. Robert Saleh is simple. I'm going to win with talent. I'm going to win by not giving up the big play. That is not what Raheem Morris does. And so you're slanting, you're manufacturing pressure, you're doing zone fire blitzes, fire zone blitzes, definitely dyslexic. Like, you're bringing five-man pressure, you're rolling coverages, you're doing all these things. And it worked really, really well from the start. The first two drives defensively were a tackle for loss by Jaden Duggar on the very first play of the game. And then the second drive was a tackle for loss by Romello Hight on an inside stunt play. Putting players in an advantage position, getting the opposing offense behind the chains. Now you're at second and 12. Nobody wants to be at second and 12, by the way. And then you're getting off the field. They could not convert on third downs because they were so far behind the chains consistently. Really love, and shoot, shout out to the broadcast spotlighting Jerry Gray, going through that little history spill in the 1985 draft. Love that, by the way. Hook 'em, baby. But, like, the defensive coaches doing a job to make these young bucks have the answers to the test, and if they don't, you sure as hell cheated them up enough so that they looked good. Oh, man. Yeah, it was freaking awesome, man. I loved, absolutely loved what, you know, Raheem Morris was able to cook up. Romello Hight didn't really play a lot, but flash. Jaden Duggar, man, he had some really good plays. He had some really tackle for loss start the game. And then there was a wheel route by a tight end that was spread out. He did a quick out and then faded up. And Jaden Duggar was out of phase. And so the idea is phase in, phase out. There's two different coverages for corners, backers, safeties, whatever. If you could touch the hip in man coverage, then you turn around and play the ball. That's just what you do. Now, if you can't, then you sprint your ass to the guy and you get there. Once you touch his hip, then you turn around and play the ball. That's the idea. He's out of phase, meaning he's a couple steps behind. So what you got to do is just hot tell it, Johnny on the hot spot, get there before the ball gets there. That's what you're taught. He does that and gets a pass breakup. It was perfect out of phase technique for a linebacker. That's huge. And then there was one part where he was correcting Jacob Robinson pre-snap because he was lined up wrong. Now, I do think Jacob Robinson played very, very well. Right here from BT Wagner. Robinson over Luter. Luter didn't look bad again. He's so good versus the run. And they don't even play the same spot. Well, Robinson plays outside and nickel. But this year, he's played predominantly inside at nickel. Darrell Luter just plays outside corner. So I don't think the conversation is this player or that player. I think they're kind of two different spots, but Robinson has played some outside. Jacob Robinson was the lowest graded player against the run in the preseason last not for the 49ers, for the entire NFL. He's just too small, missed too many tackles. Dude, this kid broke his arm last possession of the preseason last year. He's worked his way up, added some more weight, and it shows. Got a tackle for loss. Very next play, gets a pass breakup. Not perfect tape. I don't think he's making the 53. I don't think Darrell Luter's making the 53 either, to be honest. Well, if Nate Hobbs don't come back and start practicing, he's kind of in that Christian Kirk territory. But I don't see Robinson making the 53. I do see Robinson making the practice squad. Darrell Luter, very good on special teams. A-plus against the run. Got a lot of quality snaps last year. Built up confidence. He's on the outside looking in right now, but I wouldn't be shocked if he made the 53. He has way more pedigree. It's the last year of his rookie contract. You don't really get anything besides a spot by cutting him. I don't know. Now, Prysock, Ephesians, badass name. It's funny. I was like, way to go, Ephesians. And my wife's like sitting there playing on her phone. She goes, somebody's name's Ephesians. I was like, yeah. Ephesians Prysock, of course. Who could forget Ephesians Prysock? He had an up and down game, made in back to back weeks with a pass breakup, gave up outside contain not once but twice on some big runs, probably two of the biggest runs of the day for the Chargers, both against 35. Made some awesome plays on special teams. It's just so inconsistent, but the upside, like he's making the roster, but it's like this guy, like if you needed a corner to play now, I would prefer Darrell Luter. I would prefer probably even Jacob Robinson. But long-term, and that's what Ephesians Prysock was, this is a long-term investment. This is what can he become. I don't think that he's there now. But, yeah. Phil, John, admit it. I was so behind Lance. Yeah, we bet so big that the pick was going to be Lance. I bought a car with that, with our bet. I was all in on it, but anyway, deal with that what you will. D-Rob, back to him. He's making it. He started tonight in three wide receiver sets. It was Debo, Stribling, and DeMarcus Robinson. Those were your three. And again, I think the starting three wide receivers for the 49ers, talking about Stribling getting, you know, starter treatment, Mike Evans, Debo, and Stribling in the F. Those are your three wideouts to start week one. Barring no injuries, DeMarcus Robinson's your four, right? He can play all three spots. You've got Cowing who can step in and do whatever. And then if you keep Jordan Watkins, he could back up the X role because that's pretty much all he plays. That's kind of the wide receiver room. Whatever you look at it, the Rook of Ephesians. I like that, Jolly. Very, very nice. Stribbles and bits. Dude, we got some good names going on in here. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, Luke Farrell kind of continues to just do Luke Farrell things, drop pass, third down contested catch. It's just like you keep hearing all these positives about Luke Farrell, and I've seen it with my own eyes at practice. Improved, but then you get to the game and it's like, man, it's the same. Just yikes. Now, more positive reports out on George Kittle. I don't think it's really anything new. Just resurfaced old reports saying there's a possibility he could play week one. I'm saying he's going to play week three, which is way up from, I was saying, middle October, Halloween. Now I'm like, I think week three he'll be out there. George Kittle plays week three. That is a huge win. That is a huge win. Now, one of the things I did not predict, he says, do you think Grimes will make this team if they take seven receivers? No. Grimes got like no playing time. And whenever he did get in, they were just running the ball to, you know, kind of wind the clock down and whatever else. Grimes has not been afforded any opportunities as a returner. Will Pauling got more chances, continues to show he's not. It did have one decent punt return, but like I'm out on Will Pauling. Grimes, I really like, but they're not giving him an opportunity. Maybe one of those guys will be a practice squad. Maybe both. But I don't think it's there. I really, really don't. So kind of do with that what you will. Now, scrolling down, a couple other things that I thought were kind of cool. Enrique Cruz continues to look cuttable. Really, and they did this whole spotlight on him, which I thought was like awesome, man. It was like, yeah, look at giving the rookie his flowers and highlight him. The next two plays, he gets blown up into the quarterback. The next two plays, Enrique Cruz Jr. just gets destroyed into the quarterback, which we saw a lot last time. So, yeah, it's hard. That's hard. So, Enrique Cruz, I think he's cuttable. I really don't think we're going to really see. Man, it's hard to cut a fifth-round pick. I just cannot. I don't think they keep him. His technique is so bad. And I'm seeing other people talk about putting him at guard. And like, I don't know, man. You draft a guy with those traits, and he can't anchor out there at the tackle spot. What makes you think he's going to anchor at the guard spot? And he saw it with Austin Pleasance, and Carver Willis having a hard time with it, too. Ugh. Yeah, and shoot, Adrian Martinez. The most frustrated I got with Adrian Martinez is his fourth and goal, and you throw the ball out of the end zone. That is like murderer's row, and Shanahan was pissed. Now, there was a penalty. They got, you know, first and goal, and they scored on that possession. But, like, it's fourth and goal, and you throw the ball out of the end zone? Like, uh-uh. No, that just shows lack of football IQ and just scared. Like, that is not – I ain't doing that. Like, obviously, the turnovers, putting the ball in jeopardy, the pick six, not snapping the ball on time, that was Jordan Watkins' fault. Like, and that's the thing with Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing. Inconsistent. There was one drive where Jordan Watkins misses this block, leads to a TFL. Now it's third down. They run a slant to Jacob Cowing. Ball hits him in the chest. He drops it. Like, they're both just so inconsistent. So why do I like Jacob Cowing so much more than Watkins? The elite upside. Cowing can be the punt returner. Cowing can be a kickoff returner. Watkins cannot do those things. Yeah, he gets reps there. He sucks there. Two games in a row, absolutely nothing. Now, Watkins cannot block. He blocks some this game. Cowan can't block either. That's an issue. That is an issue. But you can't have an X that doesn't block. Like, that doesn't happen in the NFL. Like, because you're playing against your bigger corners, that's an issue too. I saw somebody saying that, let's see if I can find. Yeah, here we go. What's up? Newer Axe. He says, John puts too much stock in wide receiver blocking. That is true. I completely agree with that. One punt return for a touchdown isn't more valuable than a touchdown. It is way more valuable. Yeah, it is. Special teams, touchdowns worth way more because that is an entire drive in and of itself that you don't have to do. Yeah, special teams, touchdowns worth way more. Not on the scoreboard, obviously, but... Yeah, I mean, there's been one punt return for the 49ers and for a touchdown in 15 seasons. Way more stock. Special teams, yeah, I do. But yes, I do value wide receiver blocking too much. That is, whenever I'm doing draft tape, whenever I'm breaking down tape, it is a major, like, flaw of mine. And I also put too much stock in corners that can come up and support the run game. That's a flaw of mine. I agree. But I was the same way whenever I coached. We're not playing 7-on-7. We're not. This is a man's game. This is a physical game. If you don't have the physical component, I can't trust you. I can't. Now, if you are a Hall of Fame talent like Deion Sanders, and like I ain't doing that, you roll the dice with that. You put your strong safety to his side all the time because you ain't got to worry about him getting beat. I get it. If they're that talented, but you go all the way through, and I struggle with offensive linemen that can't run block. Like, I get that there are, like, I've got flaws to my, like, grading scheme or whatever you want to say. No doubt about that. Anyway. And so, like, disagreements are great. And there are NFL teams that don't value. Like, Emmanuel Forbes is playing in the NFL for the Rams, who are pretty damn good. But, like, the Rams will take flawed players. They don't give a shit. Like, they don't care. We'll take linemen that can't pass pro. We'll take corners that won't tackle. We'll take wide receivers that, no, that is wrong. McVay wants wide receiver plus blockers all the time. Had to stop myself with that. But anyway, they'll just make stuff work everywhere else. Now, back to the 49ers and some more positives. Shout out to Demo. You know, he didn't play much just that first series, but blanketed Ladd McConkey, who torched the Niners in that joint practice. And, like, congratulations to the Chargers. You won the joint practice. Got your ass kicked tonight. Up and down the field, first team, second team, third team, don't give a damn. Got your ass kicked. Diamador Lenore shutting down Ladd McConkey. That was pretty awesome. To force the three and out, I was pretty excited. Another back-end guy that I really liked tonight, Quentin Bell, the defensive end. Just a couple great plays in the run game. I was just like, nice. Even Jair Brown, who, again, not a fan of, made a nice tackle on third and long on a screen, kind of an open field tackle. Thought that was awesome. Give him his flowers. Didn't play a lot. Jair Brown's over there breaking down the team to start the game, and I'm just like, dude, just make this guy coach. Like, why are we – I don't know. But he made a play. So positive, didn't give up anything major negative. That's okay. Sam Moe, consistent. Consistent. Like, you're perfect defensive end five or four. You know what I mean? Not a starter. He can start if you need to. Started a lot of games last year. But so he's just who he is. Positive plays consistently, that's not a playmaker. Helps the team defense out all the time, not a playmaker. Not going to get a lot of sacks, not going to get a lot of TFLs. Just get the damn job done. Yeah, let's see, special teams. Eddie P was good. Corliss Waitman, love our punter. Touchback, you know, got a touchback on a punt that landed at the four and then bounced in. Dude, keep doing that. We'll be all right. Nice 48-yard punt with a 3-yard return. Ah, oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. Now, other things I'd love. If you're going to any 49ers game this year, you got to come party with us. We are going to games all over the place. Australia, Mexico, Dallas, Atlanta, Seattle, Los Angeles. We're going to be right back down there for the Thursday night game and our first home game. We're going to be doing a home game tailgate for the season opener against the Dolphins. Get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with Tick Pick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the Tick Pick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. All right, just a couple injury updates coming across the Twitter sphere. Renardo Green hamstring, imaging scheduled for tomorrow to determine the extent. Hamstring can be kind of 10 days to 8 weeks. Yeah, like there's a wide variance. So the fact they're doing an MRI, not great. Not great, Bob. Not great. Austin Pleasant's knee, not thought to be an ACL, but not sure how serious it is. We'll see what that is. Nick Martin hamstring to be determined. And then right here, this is interesting to me. Robert Jones has an unspecified injury that will keep him out next week too. I told y'all that tape was bad. And I said, don't be shocked if Robert Jones retires. Didn't dress tonight. I hope that it's like, I'm not trying to throw shade. I just saw somebody that wasn't ready to come back to the NFL after taking a year off. I think that's kind of what it's going to be. And so might have an injury designation. He gets waived on an injury thing. The Niners do him solid, put him on IR, and he gets paid a little cash and just rides off into the sunset, but like not shaming him publicly. I think that's what it's going to be. He looked really bad. So you guys could go watch our breakdown if you want to. But yeah, and you know, if Renardo Green, who's had a great camp, is out, it's next man out, do you move Stout outside? Or do you just keep him at nickel where he flourishes and just put Jack Jones in the spot? That's probably what I would do. Instead of moving Man, I want Upton Stout out there. Oh, ah, I love it. Anyway, so a lot of fun. Man, this is episode 1,700. I love it. I can't wait to get to the tape. I hope it comes across in the morning. So join us, the49ersrush.com. Go sign up, 7-day free trial right now. Come on, guys. Go do it. But that's going to do it for us. You guys are incredible. The Niners wasted the Chargers. Absolutely put the smack down. All three phases. So many positives. Couple injury negatives. That's going to do it for us tonight. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.